your face. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in God's presence this morning? All right. The Lord God that has brought you, we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We welcome all our members online this morning. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. All the people from Abuja, Ilorin, Glasgow, Kasimu Miade, I'm online. Hallelujah. All the way from, that's Lambata now. Hallelujah. All right, all our people from London, from Ilorin, from Abuja, Nasarawa, we welcome you to church this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. We continue from where we stopped last week. Pruning. 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 Part 2. Pruning. Part 2. John chapter 15. As we read our base scripture. John chapter 15. I read verse 1 and 2. And then verse 8. John chapter 15. I read verse 1 and 2 and 8. John chapter 15 verse 1. It says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. John chapter 15 verse 2 now says, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Verse 8, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now if I read John chapter 15 verse 2, in the message, it says, he cut off every branch of me that doesn't bear fruit. He cuts them off. He said, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear even more. Hallelujah. So we started looking at the concept of what? Pruning last week. And we established something. We said, it is not a matter of God starting a new thing. Lord, do something new. Lord, do something new in my life, which is our prayer. Beautiful prayer. But we said it is not about God doing something. It's about what God can stop. And we established the fact that if God cannot stop something, he cannot start something new. He has to stop certain things so that he can start some things. And that is the concept of pruning. And we look at the advantages of pruning. If you are not around last Sunday, you can still go back to our Instagram and or IGTV and watch part 1 of this message. Alright, let me go to verse 2 now. Let me go to part 2 of this message. And I said, from today we will start looking at what do I need to prune? What do I need to prune? In other words, what does God need to cut off so that I can bear more fruit? What does God need to cut off? What does God need to stop so that new things can start? And number 1 that I will be looking at in details this morning is what I call the past. The power of the past. The power of the past. The past have power. The past is strong. The past is a demonic hold that holds a man and keeps a man down. That's the past. Now let me show you something. Beautiful scripture. Isaiah chapter 18, chapter 43 verse 18. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18. Isaiah 43 verse 18. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18. It says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now listen carefully. Look at where God is starting from now. It says, remember ye not the former things, old things. It says, neither consider the things of old. Now let me read it in the message. It says, forget about what has happened. Don't keep going over old history. Wow, I love that. It says, forget about what has happened. Don't keep going over old history. The good news. The good news says, but the Lord says, don't cling to events of the past or dwell on what has happened long ago. Hallelujah. Why did God took the pain to keep preaching this message? You know, God was preaching to us here. He said, don't keep thinking about the past. Forget about it. Leave the past. Let the past go. And he began to talk and talk. But then, now here is the part that is very interesting. Verse 19. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, behold, see it. Every time the Bible says behold, that means it's a clear departure from the norm. It's a clear departure from where he's coming from.
He has been talking about the past. He has been talking about the powers of old. He has been talking about the powers of the past. But all of a sudden, he came to verse 19. And look at what he said. He said, behold, now see, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Now the question you ask yourself is, when is now? Do you know now in this concept? Now is the day you release the past. Hallelujah. He said, why I'm telling you about living the old things? Why I'm talking so much about the old? Why I'm talking about living past experiences, letting it go, is because I want to do a new thing. So I want to stop the old so that I can commence the new. I want to stop the old so that I can do what? I can commence the new. And he said, now, the day, the moment, the minute, the second you stop the old, then the new will start. In other words, if you are still remembering the former things, it will be impossible for God to start a new thing. Everybody wants newness. Everybody wants to see something new. But then the question is this: can you allow pruning of the past? Can you command the powers of the past to let you go? Hallelujah. And that's what God is telling us this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 19 in the good news says, watch for the new thing that I am going to do. Watch for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know the interesting thing is this. The enemy, the greatest enemy of the new is the old. The greatest enemy. Now never forget that the greatest enemy of the new is what? Is the old. The moment you keep holding on to the old, you keep holding on to the old. You know, in the course of the week, I think maybe about last week or thereabout, I saw the garage of a man that they said was a senator, one of the first senators in the first republic in Nigeria. And they showed his garage. Hallelujah. And you know, he has exotic Benz. He has so many of those cars. Those cars were abandoned. Ford and all that. Those were the cars that were reigning in their days. And they showed them in his garage. The house is dilapidated. The garage is a mess. The cars are, you understand, they are rotten. And the person said, vanity upon vanity. Do you understand it? Hallelujah. It simply means, when you keep holding on to the old, you cannot see the new. You can't. It's not possible. Hallelujah. If they dash you iPhone 1 now, hallelujah, will you say thank you? Even Edmund will not collect it. Hallelujah. He won't. Why? Because we are where? We are in iPhone what now? 11. Right? Are we in 12 already? Till next month. We are still in 11. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But when you now say, okay, look, it is Nokia 3310. My father dashed me Nokia 3310. I cannot let it go. They will start say, okay, please, can you browse? He said, what is browsing? He said, can you do WhatsApp? He said, what is WhatsApp? He said, but this Nokia, where it falls down, you will assemble it back. It will still be okay. Do you know? That's the way many people are living their life. They have held on so tightly to the past. They have held up so tightly to the old that God is saying, release it. Let me help you. Open your hand. Let the old go so that the new can come. They said no. Hallelujah. That's the way many people are living their life. But now let me mention to you some of the things that you need to release in your past. Let me mention them to you. Number one thing that I will mention this morning is what? The memories of sin. In the course of the week, I think last month or thereabout, I was sharing about things that does not allow our faith to work. And I said one of it is what? Guilt from sin of the past. Just still holding on to it. But then I shared a revelation from Isaiah chapter, from Psalm 103 verse 12. I'm sure some of us that logged on that day, that we understand it. But I'll share it again. Psalm 103 verse 12. Psalms 103 verse 12. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, when God saved you, it was not partial saving. It was total and it was absolute. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It was not partial. It was total. And it was what? Absolute. God rescued us. God saved us. So every time you keep thinking that you are being punished in your future because of something that you have done in the past, you are not born again. Hallelujah. Because everyone that is born again is who? Is a new species. Is a new creation. And I was sharing from this scripture, and I said, they said, from as far as the east is from the west. As far as the east is from the west. And I said, geography told us. Go and do your research. You will discover that if you give birth to a child today, and that child decides to travel from the north to the south of the earth, there is no problem. When he keeps traveling, one day he will arrive at where is called the North Pole. Are you following me? He will arrive at the North Pole when he keeps traveling. And then immediately he passes the North Pole, he starts traveling to the South Pole. That's Antarctica. You know Antarctica, that place that is cold. Under, when you see map of the world, that's Antarctica. And the one on top is what? The North Pole. If we arrive at the South Pole in a lifetime, there is no problem about that. But the interesting thing is this. If you give birth to a child today, and that I said the vision I came from every week is to visit the west and the east and the west, and he starts traveling. By the time he's 1,000 years old, if he lives to be 1,000 years, he will never arrive at the east. Hey, do you understand me? He can never. You can never travel from the west to the east. I say, finally, I'm at the east pole. Or finally, I'm at the west pole. It never happens. When you keep traveling in that direction, you can never arrive. You can never travel from the east to the west within a lifetime. It doesn't happen. That was why this David didn't say, the Lord has removed our iniquity as far as the north is from the east, from the south. Because he knows that if you keep traveling, one day you can still arrive back at the north or the south and pick back your sin. Hallelujah. So God will remember. Hallelujah. But he said from the east to the west. He knows that it doesn't matter how you travel. You can't come back. You can't come in touch with it again. God has delivered you. Why are you remembering what God has forgotten? Do you understand me now? Why are you doing what? Why are you remembering what God has forgotten? Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That's who you are now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, you remember that word again. All things are become new. Now, the interesting thing is this. If you don't allow your past to die, it will not allow you to live. Now, hear that. If you don't allow your past to die, it will not allow you to live. It will keep haunting you. It will never allow you to live. It can't. So you must allow the past to be in the past so that you can live and enjoy your life. Hallelujah. So that's number one thing that I want you to let go in your past. Number two is what I call defeats. Defeats of the past. Defeats and failures 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 of the past. Everybody has been defeated in one way or the other before. Do you know that even Jesus Christ was defeated by death? He died. Hallelujah. But he didn't remain in the grave. He rose. Hallelujah. So he was defeated. There are past failures. You know, one day I was listening to Mike Murdock, and he said something that really shocked me. You know, and I said, this man is sounding heretical. Praise the Lord. You know what he said? He said, Jesus Christ didn't do well everywhere. Ah, I said, something's wrong with this man. Hallelujah. He said, do you know that Jesus Christ didn't do well everywhere? Then I went to check my Bible truly. I've never looked at that scripture in that light before. You know, he went back to his own home. And when he got back home, the Bible says he could not do so many what? Miracles in his home. He couldn't. As much as he tried, he couldn't. He tried all his best. Jesus is not just Jesus, it is God Almighty Himself on earth. 100% God, 100% man. Yet he got to a place and he couldn't do miracles. Let Jesus ask, what did he do? He moved to another place. The moment he left that place and got to another zone, there was a miracle. There was an explosion of miracles. That was Jesus. Why are you flogging yourself? Hallelujah. Why are you flogging yourself? You know, yesterday my father in the Lord said, told us the story in this town, not in another town. In this town, what happened to the woman? He said the woman was learning how to drive. 10 years ago, that's 2010, she was learning how to drive. And as she was learning how to drive, he said one day she was coming. As the man that was teaching said, turn, turn, turn. So she was trying to, you know, when you are teaching some people how to drive, when you say press brake, they press accelerator. Hallelujah. Say, turn, turn, turn. Okay, press brake, press brake. The woman kept going. And you know, they said there was this cage where this, what do we call them? These traffic wardens used to stand in those days. You remember those cages? So the man was standing and directing traffic. So it does occur to the traffic warden that the way this woman is coming, I need an anointing of speed now. The man jumped out and ran away. You know, woman used the car to carry the what's it called now? That podium that they were directing traffic from. She carried it and went to use it to hit other cars and things like that. And it was messy. But that was the day she was learning out. And you know what? It says from that day, the woman made up her mind not to drive. So now the husband is a professor with 4 cars. She still goes to the market in what? With bike. Hallelujah. With 4 cars. She still goes to the market with motorcycle. She still looks for Okada to go to the market. Why? Because she couldn't just let go of the memories of that past failure. Everybody has failed before. Everybody has failed before. You know, my father-in-law was telling me something. Some today is his birthday, by the way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know, he was telling me something. He said the first time they ever told him to preach. The first time they ever told him to preach. So they didn't give him topic. They said, as you are led, and all that, and all that. And he got to the podium to preach. And we immediately stood there. He said, today, I will be preaching on the power of the devil. Ah! He said, everybody look at him. Power, agbare issues. He said it in Yoruba and English. So they will understand. The power of the... Ah! You understand? He nearly scattered church. But do you know what? If he has stood at that position, what do you think will have been happening to his ministry today? What are you holding on to in your past that is preventing the birthing of something new? It's not as if God is powerless in doing something new. But God knows that that thing you are holding on to is going to choke the new thing that he's doing. So he knows. And God doesn't waste resources. God doesn't waste resources. So he's holding, he's saying, look, I have to hold this thing back from you. If not, you will mess up the future. Hallelujah. You remember that sower that went out to sow? The Bible says some of it, what happened? Fell among what? Among thorns. And what happened to the thorns? The Bible says when it began to spring forth and it began to grow, he said the thorns, they choked it and killed the plant. They killed it. Why? Because it was among thorns. Our past, most of the time, operates like thorns. So every time the seed of a new thing falls among them, they choke it. They kill it. And then, you know, many times you keep praying, but Lord, why? But Lord, God is saying no. That past memory, that past problem, if you don't release it, I can't allow, they will choke this new thing. Hallelujah. So there is going to be defeat. And you know what? There will be more failures. You can't escape it. There will be more defeats. There will be more failures. And there is nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mommy Areogu said she gave somebody a prophecy. And the prophecy didn't come to pass. And the person came back. I said, Mommy, this is what you said. And this is, maybe I didn't hear the Holy Spirit well. I'm a man. Hallelujah. What is your attitude to failure? We listened to one man, myself and my wife. And the man said something that blew my mind. You know what he said? He said, failure is the school fees you pay in the school of success. Do you understand? Failure is what? School fees. School fees that you pay in the school of success that you will not fail is a lie. Let me shock you. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, what do you think happened there? Have you checked your Bible very well? What do you think happened there? God failed. Hallelujah. Why am I saying this? Do you know that nobody was there? Was Moses there? Moses was not there that wrote Genesis. Were you there? No. The people that compiled the Bible for us, were they there? No. But the question is this. Why did God tell us to put Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 inside the Bible? Have you ever asked yourself? Why? Huh? Do you know if the Bible has been in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And on the first day, he created, what did he create on the first day? Light, right? And then he went ahead and told us everything he created over the course of the 6 days.
Will you have doubted him? Now the question is this. Does God need to put it in the Bible that the heart became void in verse 2? No. He doesn't need to tell us. We don't need to know. We were not there. It is an information that we don't need. But the question is, why did he put it there? Because he knows that one day you can come across darkness in your life. You can come across void. Your life, the beautiful thing that God created in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, became null and void in verse 2. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. He knows that sometimes in future, you can wake up and see darkness all around you. You can wake up and be broke. You can wake up and then you are not feeling fine in your body. He knows. So he put it there. That it once happened to me, but I came out of it. And therefore, what will happen? When you find yourself in that same condition of Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, you can come out. That was why he put it there. Hallelujah. Somebody said, if you study the book of Daniel, and I studied it carefully, and I discovered something interesting. When they took the three Hebrew boys, and they threw them inside fire, what happened? When they got inside fire, do you know what happened? Anybody? What happened? When they entered inside fire, what happened? The fire became what? Air conditioned. Who did they see there? They met God. Right? What happened? The Bible says, immediately they threw them there, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, stood up and looked inside the fire. And what did he see? He called everybody, said, come, come, come. Was it not three people with you inside the fire? He said, I can see a fourth man. I can see number four. He said, and the face of number four looks like the face of the Son of God. Hallelujah. That was Jesus in theopathic form. But now here is where I'm going. When they brought them out of the fire, how many people came out? Eh? How many people were inside? Four. How many people came out? Why? Do you know why he remained in the fire? Because he knows that one day you will enter fire. He's waiting. He said, the day you enter fire, I'm still there. And you will come out. Do you understand that? He said he knew that you will fail. He knows that you enter fire. He knows that lions might still threaten to consume you. So he didn't leave the lions then. When Daniel came out, the angel, you know Daniel told us, he said, the angel of my God has shut the mouth of lion. When Daniel came out, how many people came out? Only lion. Only who? Only Daniel. Did the angel leave? No. Because he knows that one day you might find yourself in the den of lion. He will still shut their mouth. Hallelujah. So you can fail. There is no problem. But the problem is this. What is your attitude to failure? What is your attitude to failure? The ability to look back and dust your body and rise quickly. Is that grace that helps you to move ahead in life? Hallelujah. Number three, I call it offenses. Offenses. The Father Lord also spoke about it yesterday. Offenses. Offenses. Angry at everything. Said that, he said, you know, I've met somebody before. True life story. That have a book. And you know what is in the book? The list of people that offend him and when. I'm telling you, when you meet such people, they are demons. Hallelujah. When you meet, you know people like that, he will quote the time, he will quote it, that on the 11th of April, 1944, shortly before the World War was over, your great-grandfather pointed at my father and abused him. He said, now, in 1979, your father did the same thing. In 84, your elder brother, now in 2020, you are trying to do, I will not agree. Ah. You know, when you meet people like that, they just prostrate. How do they do again? How do they fight? How do you fight such a person with memory, with that kind of, he will bring, he will dust it, and we open it for you. But the question is this, for how long are you going to hold on to it? When you bear grudge, an offense against another, you know what you are doing? You are imprisoning yourself while you are freeing them. Somebody said, when you are angry at people, so what you are simply doing is, you are drinking poison and wishing the other person will die. Hallelujah. When are you going to forgive? When are you going to let go? When are you going to release him? When are you going to release her? You know, as leaders, we have to understand this. God is taking you to great places. As no matter your level now, you are going higher. Let me tell you something. People will step on your toes. Do you understand? People will step on your toes, and there is nothing you can do about it. It is part of life. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Somebody's mother-in-law was sick to the point of death, and you went to their house. You lay hands on the woman. You prayed in tongues, and the woman got delivered, right? And few days later, this same person said, he has never seen you again. Do you remember who I'm talking about now? Peter. They went to Peter's house. The mother-in-law was sick to the point of death. And Jesus sent out the demon that was disturbing the woman. And the Bible says the woman rose up, and immediately she began to serve them. She made food and gave it to them. Few days later, they told Peter, they said, you were with that man. He used to come to your house to eat. Peter said, me, Jesus. He said, I've never seen him before. And you know what? He still went. He died and came back. And what did he do? The Bible says he went to look for Peter. Hallelujah. So this is practical Christianity. It's practical Christianity. Especially when you're in a position of leadership. People will step on your toes. People will insult you. People will do all manner of things. But do you know what? You must let go. You have to. You don't have a choice. If not, when you are holding on to that hold, the new will never come. It won't. And you know, that is the reason why God has kept some people on the same spot. I can't promote this one. If I promote this one, he said, if you open the heart of some people, it's a prison yard. It's a prison yard. You know, when some people die, people need to celebrate. You know why? Because their heart is a prison yard. So other people will be let go that day. Say, bro, he locked us up. He said, you too, you were in his prison. And they are carrying the weight of that prison all around. When will you let go of offenses? When will you release men? When will you release women? The earlier you are able to do it quickly, the better for you. The faster you move, the better the new will come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then, number next, I call it past pains. Past pains. Past pains. I watched a documentary. I think I watched it on Oprah. I'm sure some of us, maybe I don't know whether you watch it. It's been a while now that I watch it. But now there was a problem. There was a man. They brought the man to Oprah. No, it was a lady. They brought her, and Oprah was interviewing her. Right, it was a very terrible thing. You know why? Because this lady does not forget. Do you understand what I'm saying? She does not. She doesn't have the ability to forget. Whatever has happened to her, she remembers. She knows date, she knows time, she knows everything. But now, this way I'm going. The problem is this. Because she doesn't forget, there are places where she has gotten injury. Anytime she sees those injuries or those scars, are you following me now? Anytime she sees those scars, she feels the same way she felt when it first happened. So there are so many parts of her body that she has to cover up. Where she had knife cuts, when she sees it, she will still feel the pain of the knife. Now you know why God is smart, and he has created the concept of what? Forgetting. Do you know God himself forgets? Hallelujah. That was exactly the name of one of the children of Joseph now. He said, for the Lord has made me to forget. He said, my God is forgetfulness. Hey! Why? Because things can still hurt you when you don't forget. You remember some of the pains, and you still feel as if it was happening now. You must let go. You have to release it. You have to let it go. God will not be able to do new things when you don't allow the past to die. I said, any past that you are that is in your future will not allow you to live. So you must kill it. You must. You are. So you must prune your past. You must allow all these things to die around you. Hallelujah. And I said something here. I said you must become a shark. You must become what? A shark or an airplane. A shark or an airplane. Now, what is a shark? A shark is what? What is a shark? It's a type of what? A type of fish. Now, let me shock you about the shark. I read a research about the shark. Very interesting. Do you know the shark is about the only fish that cannot go backward? It cannot. It doesn't swim backward. If it needs to turn, it relies on the force of gravity. It will allow itself to fall. And as it is falling, it will now allow the water wave to allow to swerve it in the direction it wants to go. But when it makes deliberate effort to turn back, to go back, it cannot. That's the way God has created it. Because of his pectoral veins. So his pectoral veins does not allow it to go back. As a matter of fact, scientists say if you pull a shark back by the tail, the shark will die. When you pull a shark, as mighty and as powerful as a shark is, if you pull it back by its tail, it will die. That's interesting. It will die. The shark will die. So you must live your life like a shark. There are things in your past that when you allow them to pull you back, they can kill you. So you have to fight it. You have to resist it. You don't have to embrace it. You know, that's why I always say, I love the people that created the concept of burial. Hallelujah. I love them. Hallelujah. I love the people that created the concept of burial. You understand? Did I like my mom? Oh, I love my mom. Do I love my... I love them. I love my mom passionately. That woman is a woman with a heart of gold. You understand? But she died. Hallelujah. The day of the burial, they did make up for her. Painted her face, wore beautiful clothes for her, did everything. But we love her. But eventually, when we lowered that body inside the grave, what happened? When the grave, before the grave was covered, what did we do? We left. Most of you were there. Did we remain there? No. Did we stay back there? No matter how you love people, there are things that are dead in your life that you are keeping in your house. And as long as they are dead and you are keeping them, they are decaying. And as long as they decay, they pollute you. And as long as they keep polluting you, you can't move and make progress. If you have some, you know, there is this perfume that smells like a corpse. Have you seen that perfume before? Very expensive. But I'm sure the stupid people that made it and the stupid people that buy it are crazy. Alright, permit me for using that word. But I don't think they are okay. Hallelujah. So they spray it. Because, and the perfume, very expensive. I think the bottle is about $15,000 or something like that. Can you imagine? So they just want to smell like a dead person and you buy it. Even if you buy that perfume, you are still, you won't go to the grave and leave. You won't. You won't. Why? Because you just want that memory to go. You just want it to be banished. You just want to forget about it. Bury the past. Conduct a burial ceremony for all these things that I've mentioned today. Will they still come? Will you still remember them? From time to time, in fact, the devil will purposely, after service, start bringing things into your mind that he wants you to remember. Hallelujah. Say, don't mind that, pastor. Can you forget this? Can you forget this? This person that slapped me in 2014. Hey, you know what you tell the devil? Both you and that memory, I bury you today. Hallelujah. Do you know what? I said you become a shark or what? An airplane. Why did I say an airplane? An airplane doesn't have a reverse gear. It doesn't. No aeroplane have a reverse gear. No. Why? Because the plane is not expected to move back. If the plane needs to make, if the plane is going and they discover that they have made a mistake and the plane needs to come back, what does it do? They tell the plane to maintain a particular course and it's going to turn round in the air and come back to land where it's supposed to land. It doesn't matter. The plane doesn't have. But you said, how do they park planes? When they park planes inside the hangar, they have some small trucks that they use to push the plane. They use it to push the plane back to the tarmac. And immediately the plane gets to the tarmac, it accelerates and fly. Once the plane is in the air, it knows, I don't need the reverse gear. What are you doing with your reverse gear? Then that's the problem. What are you doing? With what? With your reverse gear. I wrote something down here. I said, your 2 feet, where are they? Where are they facing? They are facing forward, not backward. Why do you think God do it like that? Because God wants you to always be what? Forward thinking. He wants you to let go of the past. Your 2 feet are in the direction of your future, not in the direction of your past. You know, there is one stupid Yoruba proverb. Let me say in Yoruba now, try and interpret it in English. It said, what does he do?
That is one of the most stupid proverbs in Yoruba. Don't mind them. They said if an elder falls, he looks back to find out why did I fall down. He said if a small child falls, he looks forward and stand up and start running. Go and check it very well. If an elderly, medical doctors are online this morning. Hallelujah. If an elderly person falls down and break his leg, and a small child falls down and break the same leg, who is faster? And then you now say, the elder looks, when he keeps looking back, why will he heal on time? You know, there are some problems that have caused us problem. That's the truth. That's the truth. When a small child falls, he quickly dusts his body. He is going somewhere. He is not waiting. No matter what has caused it, that is not the problem now. The most important thing is what? Where we are going. Where we are going. And he keeps heading in that direction. He keeps running in that direction. But the elderly ones, he's still doing analysis. An analysis does what? Paralyzes. Analysis paralysis. Why did I fall? He's there speaking grammar. Everybody has overtook him. Professor of falling. He has gone to the lab to do a research on why he fell. Everybody has overtook him. And everybody has gone forward. That's the way to live your life. Live your life like that young one. So that you can heal on time and run again on time. Do you understand me this morning? So if there is one thing, number one, that you need to let go, it is what? The powers of your past. What is your past doing to you? Like I said, any past you don't kill will not allow you to live. Rise up on your feet this morning. Why not begin to talk to God? Now, Father, in the mighty name.